somber news out of West Virginia this morning. 25 miners are dead in a mine explosion there. 2 are in intensive care, 4 still missing. Although the chances that they survived the explosion are not good, they suspended the search for them. Coal mining fatalities hit an all-time low last year. 34 workers died nationwide, a tragic number, but still an improvement for the country's most dangerous industry. And yet, it is maddening to hear, in light of yesterday's incident, that Massey Energy, who owned the coal mine in West Virginia, was cited repeatedly for violations before yesterday's explosions, just as the Sago mine was cited numerous times before the disaster in 2006. Joining us, Ian Urbina, Mid-Atlantic Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, and he is in Beckley, West Virginia. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
How was it there in West Virginia? How are people handling the news as they wait for the fates of these last four miners?
It seems like hope is waning. You know, this is always the worst part because there's this drawn-out waiting period where with every hour, you know, prospects get dimmer. And it's going to be a long wait because they have to drill these holes into the mine to ventilate them and get some of the methane out before they can send rescue workers back in to see what the status of those four remaining miners is. The mood seems to be heading downward.
Do the families there feel as though they're getting enough communication from the company and from the government officials?
You know, those that I've talked to have not complained about that. I think it's still so close to the disaster that they're just reeling from it, and they're not thinking too much about how it has been handled. It's also sort of a spread out community, and so as of yet they're not all convening in one place, so it's very difficult to get any cumulative sense of how they're feeling.
And do we know anything about the two miners who are in the hospital? Any word on their condition?
No, the last I heard they were in critical condition, but I haven't heard more than that.
Okay, Ian Urbina is the Mid-Atlantic Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. He joined us from Beckley, West Virginia. Let's go back now to Ellen Smith, the editor of Mine Safety and Health News. Ellen, after Sago, there was a huge outcry over the number of violations that the company that owned that mine had been cited for before the disaster. We had a slew of new regulations go into place in Washington, and then we have this disaster, and we're hearing that this company was also cited a number of times for safety violations.
Well, let me point out with Sago that we know that that accident, that explosion, was caused by a lightning strike. And while that company did have, you know, over 700 violations, those did not contribute to the lightning strike that caused the explosion. And I think that that's very, very important to note, that yes, you can have a mine with a lot of violations, and I'm certainly not making excuses, but Sago was in fact a lightning strike. In this case, we know for a fact that this mine has been cited for many ventilation violations. We know that it had elevated enforcement actions last year, 50 unwarrantable failures. That is a lot for any mine. And when we can compare it to other mines that are larger, and we do not see 50 unwarrantable failure citations, violations, like we have seen at this mine. So something's going on. I mean, their citations have increased.
Well, and not only that, but that shows a disregard for the enforcement of the government against violations.
Well, MSHA has been hypervigilant in citing mine operators. They've been complaining, as a matter of fact, since Sago, because they've just been cited. The inspectors are really trying to be on their toes about things. They're not compromising at all. They're saying, let a judge work out our differences. So companies have been hypervigilant. Nobody wants these mine accidents to happen. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Coal Mine Act. We celebrated a record low number of fatalities in 2009. We celebrated how far the industry has come. None of us ever thought that this would ever happen again. I honestly believe that.
But Ellen Smith of Mine Safety and Health News, this may be a little bit confusing to you now. At what point is there a trigger? When you have 50 violations of them ignoring citations from the government and then no further enforcement occurs, where's the trigger?
Well, the trigger is in something called a pattern of violations. And my guess is that given the number of unwarrantable failure violations at this mine, it was probably coming close to being put on what we call a pattern notice. And that would mean that MSHA would be at that mine. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the enforcement record, MSHA has had a continuing presence at this mine. And again, 6 ventilation plan violations since January. Something was going on. They were having trouble controlling this methane. And they're going to look at this, no doubt, in the investigation. This is going to be gone over with a fine-tooth comb.
Can you would you imagine that they're possibly going to re-examine that timeline and how quickly they move to shut down a mine?
They're going to re-examine the timeline, and they're also going to look at their own actions. I mean, that's the one thing I've always had confidence in MSHA, is that they have always been honest about their own failures as mine inspectors, as you know, the government agency that oversees mine safety. Now, you have to keep in mind that the bottom line is the safety of any mine is up to the mine operator. But MSHA will, in fact, look at itself and what role its inspectors might have played in this horrific accident.
Do you have any words that might reassure families in West Virginia?
I there's nothing to say. My heart goes out to them. I cannot imagine how difficult this is. And it's not part of living in the coal community. We thought these days were over with these new regulations.
Ellen Smith is the editor of Mine Safety and Health News. We also spoke with Ian Urbina, who's the Mid-Atlantic Bureau Chief for our partner, the New York Times, from West Virginia. And we're speaking to miners and mining families today. If you have a specific reaction to today's news, or there's something that you think the rest of the nation needs to know about these kinds of disasters, let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org.